It's time for Wisconsin Life. Steamboats are embedded in the history of the La Crosse area. However, a passion for those vessels continues to bring that story to life and that history. Producer Brianne Chasso tells us more.
My name is Mike. I'm going to be your captain, also going to be your tour guide for the trip here today. So I'll be starting up the tour as soon as we get away from the dock here.
That's Mike Vogel. He's worked on the paddle wheeler, the La Crosse Queen, on and off for more than 30 years. The La Crosse Queen offers narrated boat tours rich in area river history between May and October. She's a replica of the grand river boats that once traveled these waters, minus the steam power. She's white and trimmed with red. A blue awning sits on her top deck to shade sightseers, and at the stern, a bright red split stern wheel propels the boat through the water. Despite growing up in the area, I'd never actually been on a working river boat like this one before. But cruising the plucky paddle wheeler is far from the only way to learn about river history in the area. Vogel pointed me in the direction of UW La Crosse's Murphy Library. It boasts a huge collection of steamboat and river-related photographs. Paul Beck is a special collections librarian. He estimates there's 40 to 50,000 photographs.
We probably have the largest collection in the country, if not the world, of steamboats and related photographs. Yes. There's only a couple of the libraries that might rival us, and they're also here in the U.S.
Beck says the collection started out with a focus on the Upper Mississippi River area, but has expanded to include other parts of the U.S. and even other countries. But the images aren't just of steamboats. They memorialize river life, from the towns, to the crews, to the passengers. Again, Paul Beck.
There is just something magical about them, and so why not have some photos? And once you get one photo, you can't stop. You can't stop. You know, 40,000 isn't even enough. We want more.
Back on the La Crosse Queen, Vogel's giving lessons in area river history. He says during the peak riverboat years, La Crosse had up to 200 boats a month pass through her ports.
That made it one of the busiest on the Mississippi River.
The tour's almost at an end, and we're approaching the La Crosse Queen's home, Riverside Park. Besides serving as the location of various festivals and a museum with, of course, artifacts from a sunken steamboat, Riverside Park has a surprise. I learned about it from George Italiano. He's with the La Crosse County Historical Society.
We built our Riverside Park in the early 1900s. I think 1909 is when it opened up. But underneath that is actually three steamboats and a barge. So
really?
We talked history on them as well, yes.
So I've been to Riverside Park countless
right.
times. There are boats and a barge under that.
Yes.
Wow. La Crosse also continues to be a stopping point for some of the grand river boats, like the Queen of the Mississippi or the American Queen. Italiano loves it when those boats dock.
And it's so nice to see the big steamboats come in because it gives us a reminder of the past.
Community members here work hard to keep the proud river history of this port city alive. When I look at the love the La Crosse area has for steamboats and for the river, it's not just about nostalgia. It's about a passion for history that seems to grow and grow.
Hi, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Disembark at this time. Thank you again.
The La Crosse Queen paddles through October. Wisconsin Life is produced by Erica Janik. The series is a collaboration between Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. You can find more information at wisconsinlife.org. Now we have a historian with us to talk about the history of steamboats in Wisconsin. George Italiano joins us now. He's a researcher for the La Crosse Historical Society and a presenting historian. George, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you very much.
Well, what made La Crosse such a big stopping point for steamboats on the Mississippi River?
We had quite a few rivers coming into the Mississippi close to it. So you had the Chippewa, the Black River, and further up, of course, the St. Croix, Mississippi, going further up as well as the Minnesota River. But what happened was we ended up with the largest company with packets on the river and excursion boats, also the largest rafting company. And rafting, of course, was for lumber and logs, and that was happening up till about the turn of the century, and we had huge amount of that going on, just as much as we did packets and such. Largest business with the rafting as well.
Now, during the heyday of the steamboat era, what was it like in La Crosse with these boats coming and going?
Very busy river landings. We had, about four public landings, one quite large, as well as all the businesses backed up to the river that had their own private docks as well. So there's much boats down there. It's unbelievable. And you'd have 20 to 30 boats easily a day at times.
Wow. Well, as Brianne discovered in that piece, there are river boats underneath Riverside Park. Tell us about these boats. Why are they there?
Well, where Riverside Park is now, at one time, was the main channel. The way it comes in here, it goes right up against the city banks. And all the docking was in the main channel. The main channel created a lot of problems with that. The three that are under there, they were at the public dock. One of them was kept there. It was brand new. In fact, the very first ferry steamboat that La Crosse had. It was 1856. It was worked from August to November thereabouts. And they left it docked there at the landing. And the next spring, they knew it would be safe from having ice get around it and crush the hull. What they weren't thinking about was what happened in spring, and that was they had a huge ice floe come down river, hit the boat, immediately put a hole in the hull, and sunk it right away. They tried to pull that one up, and I think there were three tries on it. They never could get it up because they were fighting the current the whole time. The other two boats, one was quite a small boat, that had actually been left there because they had a new boat to replace it, and it was belonged to the engineers. And that was just left alone, and what happened was the caulking in the hull apparently loosened up and it sunk. Both these boats were complete. And they just decided that when they just left. It was a tired boat, and they didn't care about it. The third boat was actually the Johnny Smoker, which had a fantastic history for a small steamboat. It was the only boat to ever traverse the Trempealeau River.
Oh.
And that is a fantastic story in itself. They tore bridges down to bring the boat up through.
Wow.
And
so these boats are just kind of pieces of history that are just going to be moored there for a long time.
Yes. Yeah. I think they're great stories, and people love to hear about them.
So when La Crosse was living the heyday of the steamboat, where were a lot of these boats going? What was La Crosse a stopping point for? Which cities?
Well, La Crosse was the second city in the state to get railroad. Once the railroad came in, it stopped right at the Riverside River. And the depot was made there, and the boats would meet the trains to take people on up to Twin Cities wherever they were going. So that was very big that way. However, they were very busy before that. The river was the highway at the time. When La Crosse was originally developed, the only way in and out fairly much was the river. The best trails were Indian trails. Were not big enough for wagons, so it was much easier to take the boat. That river just was fantastic as far as bringing a lot of business in. Much of the time when we were with low water, La Crosse was the last main stop that they could make before they could go any further upriver because it was too shallow. The company that ended up being the largest steamboat company in the late 60s and 70s actually took advantage of that. They had a huge amount of small draft boats that they worked in the smaller rivers with, and they would, when it got shallow, they brought a lot of those boats down to meet the bigger boats. and move both the freight and the passengers from one to the other.
And George, what would you say that the legacy is of the steamboats in La Crosse? How has it shaped the city?
Well, like I say, we had the largest both drafting company and packet company, and also the largest for a period of time built maker of boats too, boat yards. They were short times, but like I say, 60s and 70s were the most popular. But once the trains started taking hold, that started going away. But it was the steamboats that made the river, the 1854 Grand Excursion. For opening up the upper river really did a great deal as well. So the people knew that lands were opening up and this is the way to it. La Crosse was a gateway city just like St. Louis and Hannibal, Dubuque. And people would come to this point to get off. They get off a boat here. They would buy a horse and their wagons and so on and move west from here.
George, thank you so much for joining us today.
Sure.
That was George Italiano, researcher for the La Crosse County Historical Society and presenting historian.